Everyone, welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Lois Effect Special Edition, Cousins Edition. My name is Alisa.
And I'm Anna Banana.
Banana. So, good morning, everyone. Liz decided to take a little break today. She's being a little preoccupied. It's not a bad thing, actually. She was super busy. She had a very busy definitely a busy Sunday and a different schedule for Monday. So she just, I think it was the start of a new session at school. So she just didn't want to be too toasty fried this morning. So yeah, I figured, and I wasn't sure if I was going to have to do a closing this morning with my aunt and her cousins, but that is going to be pushed to Friday, I think.
The real estate saga.
they keep coming back with more things to.
It's always last minute paperwork, last minute things.
Your cousin has to handwrite this into this form. She can't type it in. Like, what? They said, yeah, otherwise we could have just done it ourselves, and we tried, but we were told that it needed to be handwritten. Like, I don't understand. It's not even a signature. It's another agent's contact address. I don't understand, but okay. So knock on something. They'll have everything they need. Of course, they haven't told me where to send stuff. They sent me a PDF to sign for my aunt, and it can't be opened. So that was, and I talked to her yesterday, the agent I'm dealing with. I'm like, well, the link you sent, the attachment you sent opened, but it's the wrong attachment. That's for somebody else, for my cousin. And then the second time I said, yeah, it's the wrong, it won't open. I can't even preview it. I tried it on my laptop. I've tried it on my phone. I've tried it in a different browser.
It will.
I mean, in a way, maybe I'm like, well, maybe we don't need to do it this weekend, but whatever. So, anyway, that's the everyday stuff that we're dealing with. Anna, how are you? I'm so glad Anna can come in and join. She's taking a little break from her job. And
yeah, no, I'm good. I've been doing some clearing sessions in the evening, and that's been fun with some folks. And just enjoying our lovely home here and our lovely space. And just, you know, really has been very busy with people leaving the planet. And and I think the really, really positive, appreciative thing that's coming out of that is the fact that a lot of us are getting together and visiting and really reconnecting. And I really enjoy that. Like, we've got a cousin's event this coming weekend, and I spent the weekend with my my brother and sister, my younger brother and older sister. And we, you know, we had brunch together, and that was fun catching up with them. And, you know, my brother and sister's anniversary was yesterday. So shout out to Rosie and John,
their
wedding, 35th wedding anniversary. So, my little brother had a birthday last Monday. So we don't often, we were raised not celebrating birthdays. So that's an interesting paradigm to move through, because we don't really acknowledge it very much.
Yeah.
And so, especially my little brother, who is such a loving, caring person, you know, what do you do for somebody who is constantly doing for the family? And, you know, he doesn't ask for anything in return. He's just that guy, right?
Right.
So, you know, we can feed him. That's good. We're good at that. We can feed. So, yeah, no, everything else is good. I think I'm leading a group on Thursday night I'm super excited about. I've met some wonderful women from all over the world, actually. And I was invited to this Zoom call from a mutual friend, and next thing you know, I volunteered to lead it next Thursday. I'm like, what am I doing?
So what's happening?
It's a really cool call. It was just a group of women, I guess, who met through various online programs that they, like, it could be angel cards. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do, you know, talk to angels and work with the angels, and then, you know, they do energy work, obviously. They're light workers. And so, so we have a dear friend, Anita Rausch, who is the Earth Path Guide. And if you connect with her on Facebook, it's facebook.com/earthpathguide, or go to earthpathguide.com. She does a Zoom call, I think it's every Thursday. And I'm not on social media that much anymore, so I just had not been missing them. And finally, I saw and I messaged her. I said, "Are you having one?" And, you know, what's the deal? She said, "Yes, please come to the call." And so she sent me the link. And so I've been sitting in. I've done a couple of them now, and they're just nice. It's good, nice energy. It's all about gratitude. We talk about gratitude, appreciation. If you've got a topic, you know, of course, I'm a law of attraction junkie, so I'll probably talk about law of attraction and I'm going to do a clearing and a little meditation. So yeah, if you're interested in coming to the call, I can send out the link. Just send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And yeah, it's just a wonderful energy. There's only, you know, six or seven of us right now. And I think it fluctuates. The people are different. So she's had bigger numbers. She said, you know, so people hop on whenever they can, and she allows people to, she's had someone else facilitate. And I was thinking about it, and then I messaged her. I said, well, you know, I could do Thursday. Because she's like, if anybody wants to facilitate.
This Thursday. So is it 2 days from now?
Two days from now. Okay. Yeah. So it's about sharing positive energy. It's a gratitude group, really. They're just about gratitude, and we talk about gratitude and different perspectives of gratitude. And at the same time, we share with information that we may have or just, you know, offering up, you know, people are, sent out some really good energy to some folks who are in the hospital, mm-hmm. Who are having some health issues and things like that. So, you know, you get a power of that group, that mastermind group. It's really nice. So I've enjoyed that. And then, just, you know, making plans for coming out. My son's going to be 16 next month. And oh my gosh. You know, like, I'm just in awe of them, you know, just in awe of the kids. And, you know, I got to FaceTime with Lily yesterday, so that was fun. You know, just so little things that are just happening. And, you know, we talk about appreciation and gratitude, and it all goes back to that. You know, this morning I woke up kind of early, and it's like, you know, I had to just lay there and smile. It's like this life it's a good life, and it's like you just enjoy and appreciate. I mean, this morning we were coming down to get the tea, and there was a hawk or something sitting on the arbor in the backyard. Of course, we have a cat in the house now, and she's sitting at the window. So we're wondering if he's, like, eyeing her because she's a little thing. And at the same time, you know, the beauty that lands in our backyard is amazing. Like, we're just sitting here now, and, you know, just little critters will fly across the yard. And, you know, so it's just enjoying the nature. I'm just, you know, we've still got flowers blooming on different things back here, which, you know, we were looking at this thing right here. I'm pointing at a big bush in the backyard, like on the deck. The deck was built around this thing. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It was loved so much that the deck was built around this thing. And it is, I can't remember. What is it? A camellia?
I think it is a camellia bush. I think it is.
And these big white blooms are popping up.
It is a winter bloom.
It is a winter blooming bush. Yeah, it's beautiful. And then I think the other day I went out there and there's some little yellow daffodils or something.
Yeah,
you know,
daffodils
like the
come out.
The yard's just like popping up with flowers. And so you know, we talk about these little things and it's like, well, how is that significant to life itself? And it's like, it's just the very essence of life itself. And it's the quantum moments, the quantum appreciations and the quantum gratitudes and quantum meaning small, that you put all that together and you experience this, to me, I experience this like wave of just, it's, I want to call it love, but I don't know if that's even a word that's adequate for the infusion of energy that I feel sometimes, because it's not overwhelming, but it's so like, it's like the biggest, most lovely warm blanket that can hug you. Right. So sitting in that and, you know, just appreciating life and where I am right now. And, you know, I was doing a session with a friend. Well, really, we didn't even do the session. We were just talking last night because she was in such a good place. She's like, I'm in such a good place. I don't even, and I said, well, let's just leave you there. You know,
yeah.
Let's just leave you there for now. She just came, or actually is going through a divorce right now. So not an easy place to be, especially when you feel, you know, you feel that that's your life and then your life is disrupted. Right. So we were talking about that and, you know, it's she has so many blessings in her life and she sees it. And at the same time, it's that I don't have this partner. I don't, you know, so it's working through that process of, you know, stop looking at what you don't have.
Right.
Stop telling me what you don't want. Start telling me what you want. Talk about it.
You know?
Be in that space of experiencing it in your mind's eye. I mean, actually, I was thinking about virtual reality this morning and how, you know, we call this reality, right? But in essence, it's a form of virtual reality. And then, like, my kids have those VR sets, right? So they're warping into another virtual reality and another virtual, you know, and it's so weird how, like, our toys mimic our life, you know? Life mimics life, right? So it's like if you could put that VR headset on and create the world that you really wanted and have that. I'm wondering if this is a great way to stimulate that neuropathway, those neuropathways to getting what you want.
So when we look at like that probably the very first movie that made people turn their heads and think about things differently was What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah.
And in that, you know, these different experts came on and the, you know, the brain doesn't distinguish between a picture of something and what we would consider the actual thing, like a picture of flowers versus flowers.
Actual flowers, yeah.
So we don't really distinguish. And that's why it is easy. You're right. This whole world is basically a hologram. Then what we've decided to put in front of us. I've thought about it in a different way as well. Not so much because I don't do the virtual reality thing, because I think there's so many things that are happening. Like there's plenty to deal with without
right.
Strapping something right in front of my eyeballs. But yeah, because I mean, I grew up with that. My mom and I could look at the same thing and she will find like the speck of dirt that in her mind mars the entire picture.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in the bottom left corner that I didn't even know was there. And I'm like, but what about the main part? Because this is the composition of it is you can only see the, you know, your main, you, what is drawn? What is your eye drawn to? And for her, it's like, ooh, what about that edge? Like, what about the edge? You know? So, we can train ourselves. I think that's what you are doing in the healing modalities that you do, is to have people train themselves to look at. That's why gratitude is big, to look at the things that you already have, that's already there,
right.
And probably was always there. We just didn't look at it in that way. And there's a huge gift in that. But it's not like I think you've had people kind of detract from what you're trying to do by saying, that's all just, you know, Pollyanna stuff. That's
yeah.
It's so but they're implying that it's imbalanced. And I'm
how
thinking,
can you be so happy?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that they assume that stuff isn't happening with you or with anybody. They always think, we had people on our show that would call in and they're like, well, I don't know. I mean, look at all these other people, like celebrities that are doing so well. And I said, every person has some story behind how they got there. And sometimes it's horrifying what they had to get through, you know?
And you're seeing something that's pumped up by the press.
Sure.
You don't know the background.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are a lot of people. I mean, think about people who you think have it all and they take themselves off the planet because they can't handle or in their mind
having it all
right. And what that means, their thought process is juxtaposed to the reality that they're living.
Well,
so,
sure.
And I get that. It's like be present now, and then you have to have this certain persona in front of people where you can't be your, you know, it's being true to yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not always an easy thing to pull off for celebrities, I would think.
No. Well, you know, you and I are watching you to watch the Olympics because I love the Olympics.
Oh,
I'll have it on. And you know, we would see people wipe out. You know, the hype is on the people who are expected to do well.
Right.
And when they don't do well, we've seen this quite a few times recently. I mean, last year was at the banner year in sports for all kinds of, you know, bad reasons. That you see that there are people who, because they've done really well, the expectation is that they will continue to do well, that they can't escape, seemingly, that vision. Like, they have to be
right.
On point.
Right.
And then I'm kind of thinking of Simone Biles from last summer, the gymnast who withdrew.
Yeah.
And just said, you know what? I'm doing my training and I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't just power through that. Like, I could injure myself if I continue to go forward
correct.
With that.
Correct.
But what I think...
She chose herself, which is
right.
very different. It's very
well,
different.
And so if you look back to some of these stories, I do love sports. I've never played. It's funny. Anna played sports. You played sports.
Right. And I don't watch it on TV.
And she doesn't watch it. I never played sports. And I love my teams, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sort of following the backstory because obviously
sure.
there's more to these people than just what they do on the field. And as some of you know, I am a huge soccer fan, like women's soccer
mm-hmm.
fan. And in our domestic league in the States, the NWSL, National Women's Soccer League. Last year, crazy year, we had, I think there were 10 teams and probably five of those teams had coaches that had either been fired or they stepped away and then were eventually like, dude, you did something wrong. There were all these controversies
yeah.
with abuse.
Right.
And, or just improper, like it was just totally shady.
Inappropriate behavior. Yeah.
And these were, some of these were at least 10 years, you know, of complaints and falling on deaf ears, not even having a formal process until last year to do something. And still there's not a lot of like follow up. So, but it's starting to open up. And what we're finding, and even I can make these parallels with soccer and gymnastics, the most successful gymnasts had one particular, it was like a coaching dynasty, you know, this coach was, and his wife were big in American gymnastics, but they came from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a very strong way of training where, you know,
it's a nice way of saying
it. It's a very nice way of putting it. So, yeah, so you find that in those environments, some people would say, oh, that's just what you have to do to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make those sacrifices, right? But these are also children.
Right.
Ultimately, when they start these things, they're children.
Right.
And even when you're a teenager, allegedly until you're 18, you're a child. But you're still dealing with these, with the aftermath of being trained to think about yourself a certain way as being never enough, as if if you have a lot of pain, then that's a good thing.
Work through it, yeah.
Yeah. So when we see people at these elite levels, and what you're seeing is mostly women who are, because they're really starting to step away and say, no, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm not going to give that interview because you're not going to get that part of me. You're not going to have access to that part of me. I just, you know, had this major thing happen. Like, I just lost a competition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell you how I feel. How does it feel, you know? Like, because the story is the
I'm mildly angry.
I'm a little
yeah.
perturbed, but whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. I'm going to go to Disney World. I'm going to get
yeah.
ice cream. But I think we're starting to see the other facets of who we are. Like, we have to encompass all of those things.
Right.
And the thing is, I think for you and what you do and what I hope we can all do is was we are uplifting people because we're reminding people of
mm-hmm.
of the other side
yeah.
of it. Like, yeah. There's some really crappy things that happen. Not to say get over it, work through it, but also realize that's not all of who you are. There are other aspects of you that's like, you know, like, oh, if you hurt your left knee, well, your right knee is probably fine. You know, you have to almost have to break it down just to maybe help you get through that. Like, okay, well, you know, 95% of my body is still doing fine,
right.
But I'm going to show some love and attention to this part.
Right.
And I know it can heal. It can heal and get through. So we're looking at the integration and the acceptance of all of who we are. And it's not an easy thing to do when, especially we've been trained that only receive when we're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're on top of our game, but if not, you're crap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't even talk to me until you've won at least 3 gold medals
right.
in your discipline, you know, and then maybe we'll talk.
Yeah.
But we live in a society.
Or you have your own bobblehead.
Well, when you have a bobblehead knight in your image,
right.
then we will talk about multimillion dollar deals. No, but it's true, you know. So I figure, you know, with you bringing up things that you're doing, I love that. And I think Thursday, if I'm not too wiped out from helping my aunt pack up stuff, I would love to sit on that call because, well, obviously, you know, my cousin has great energy. So she can talk about, you know, she can talk about, like, blinking her eyelids. I'm like, wow, I was an emotional rush. What are you talking about that? So I'm ready to receive that. And I'm also interested in seeing and feeling how people respond to the way you kind of lead them into, well, not that you can make them see it, but a lot of times when they're in that mode, they're like, I'm here because I want to
yeah.
help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And unconsciously throughout the day, even listening to the Olympics and just having the TV on, any previews for any upcoming show, which, you know, a lot of my friends, I hung out with some friends this past weekend and they're just up on, like, I mean, how do you have that much spare time? They have all this, like, oh, have you been watching this show and this show? I'm like, no.
Right. No.
How would I, yeah. I mean, I know I've been in a pandemic, but I haven't been necessarily just perched in front of the TV.
Right.
Trying to catch, if I'm doing that, I'm catching up on shows that ended like 3 years ago and not something new. So, it's just sort of taken for granted that you're going to be tuned in to your entertainment. But even if you don't watch it, if you listen to the music, you already know they're trying to build it up, and there's these certain chords that are hit within
mm-hmm.
a certain time frame,
mm-hmm.
and you know that that's meant to be, like, they're flashing something big on the screen with every down note. And it's a formula.
Yes.
And so what are you tuning yourself into?
Yes.
And or what are you turning yourself into? Mm-hmm. Tuning and turning. And I figure, okay, well, I'm aware of it, and so I need to step out. And actually, I've been wanting to just take a break. Like, even with all the stuff I'm doing with my aunt to help pack up her house, we've had beautiful days here. It's been cold.
Gorgeous.
It's
yeah.
been cold, but as winter dictates. But it's been sunny, and I'm like, I need to just step outside. Especially in our backyard, it's wonderful. I might get swooped up by a hawk or something like that, but. But just to be outside, and that's all we need. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
all I need, really. Downtime and maybe some downtime outside. We have a new cat. I don't know if she came in last week, but it was
Sunday. Yeah. I picked her up Sunday.
A week ago Sunday?
No, just this last Sunday.
like Sunday yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Or
well,
yesterday,
when,
2 days.
Well, wait.
Sunday was
correct?
Not 2 days
Thursday.
Ago. Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, y'all, I have not been on the air. So, we have a new cat. It's Anna's cat.
Emerson.
Her name is Emerson, officially Emerson, but we call her Emmy or M-E-M.
Or M&M, yeah.
M-E-M. And she's a gorgeous little calico cat. Mm-hmm. Little kid. I don't know how old she is. She's scrawny as anything.
She's not a year. I'm going to take her to the doctor so they can cut her in half and count her rings.
Yeah. I've got to find out how old she is. So she's sort of getting acclimated to this house that hasn't seen a cat since I moved out 7 years ago. And it's bittersweet because I really miss my cat.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of reminds me of Sophia. And I know that Raven remembers Sophia because she's helped out when Sophia has gone AWOL. You know, I'm like, Raven, Marguerite, where's my cat? So anyway, Emmy is really, she's bringing a lot of good energy into the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're friends with me on Facebook, she's fine. She's my picture, profile picture.
Yeah.
So I'm just in love with her. She's amazing. And she knows it. She's got good energy.
She does have good energy. Yeah. So it's been really wonderful to, like Anna said, being in the space. There's tons of wildlife in the backyard that could probably pick her off at any given moment if we let her go outside, but she's not going outside yet. She wants to. She's trying to figure out ways to get up and look out the window. She goes to my room and just looks out the window like a meerkat. She's like up on the windowsill. So it's been nice. Like that's been our entertainment. And in fact, I think it was yesterday or maybe the other day, I was hanging out with my Aunt Thelma and she said, you don't really watch a lot of TV at home, do you? I said, no. She's come by the house and she sat there and we've not turned on the TV because it's not on. And I'm like, just sit and you can look out the window. You can enjoy, you know, the pets and that type of thing. But I said, no, we really don't.
We use it to put music on.
Yeah.
Like background.
Yeah.
I had meditation music.
That is nice.
In the house.
You guys have picked out some nice music.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we use the TVs for. And the Olympics.
Olympics. Yeah. I didn't think you'd want to watch the Olympics. But.
Well, who's in the chat? Good morning, chat people.
Well,
here we go.
We've got Jen and Marguerite.
All right. Good morning, ladies.
Our usual suspects. So yeah. Good morning. Yeah. So I know Jen joined us a little bit later, but Liz wanted to opt out for today just to get her bearings and rest up. She had a very long day of teaching last night. Or yesterday, so I think a new type of schedule for her teaching. So, I said, yeah, that's not a problem. We can
we'll wing it.
We'll wing it. And
we'll wing it.
If hopefully, you know, she'll be back on Thursday.
Oh yeah, still wing it.
And even if she's not, we'll wing it. Right.
Because that's how we roll. you were talking earlier about the Olympics, and you and I were watching the snowboarding. And for the most part, I mean, the women did really well. They did, you know, as far as, I mean, I couldn't do that. I'm in awe, right? These little ones getting out there and doing things that I would not pick and choose to. Yeah, if I'm going to snowboard, I'm just going straight down the hill.
Just
right?
Trying to stay on the board.
And stay on the board,
and
right?
get from one point to
right.
the other.
And then the guys were doing all kinds of fun, flippy things, but they were wiping out at the end. And I thought that was interesting because there's a constant drive. Because I remember when snowboarding, I think it hasn't been that long, but it's been years since snowboarding became an Olympic sport. Mm. And they weren't doing this craziness like back in the day, right? Yeah. So you see the progression and the expansion of how they push them to bigger, better, higher, flippier, hold that board or hold that ski at a certain, you know, you got to touch the ski. I'm like, what is this? Hopscotch in the air.
Right.
I got to touch this. I got to flip this rock. I don't know. You know, what are they going to ask them to do? Like swirl a pizza or something?
You start off with, you know, pat your head and rub your belly at the same time.
Yeah.
And now it's on to touching the back
touching
of the ski.
Touching the back of the
so,
ski.
Yeah.
Well, so the skiing part, you know, they've got to get up, they've got to flip, and they have to do, you know, they've got all these, the whoever's announcing and saying, oh, that's a, you know, 257 or something, you know, whatever.
There are all these numbers involved.
I don't know. I need a cheat sheet. They're like, what is he doing now? Oh, looks like he did a 180, but he didn't. He did a 3, 2, 1, you know, I don't know, but it's touch, you know, touch the ski doing this. Oh, that's a Japanese touch. Oh, that's a whole different touch. That's weird. You know, so they you've got this whole lingo that we don't even know. So it's an expansion. And I think how far till these guys are like literally to the moon when they fly off these railings,
right?
You know, how far do they, but I see the taking the step and falling, taking the step and falling, taking the step. And it's a great example to not give up. And it's a great example to keep pushing yourself. And maybe not to the extent that you have to be carted off on a stretcher, you know, with the medics or anything like that. But, you know, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And these guys, you know, if the comfort zone is like flying down a hill at 75 miles an hour, which is not my comfort zone.
Right.
But their comfort zone, but let's add a little trick to it. Let's do a little spin. Let's do this. And so as they're going, so it's amazing how that creativity is, at, you know, because in my mind, it's like over the course of years, can you imagine them sitting around the table and going, well, oh, did you see what so-and-so did? That was a whole new trick. We can add that trick and then maybe do this. And
right.
So maybe let's have this rule. And maybe, so they're adding their creativity to it and they're pushing themselves just a little further each time. And if you think about it, that's really how, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of us do in life.
Right.
How much more can I push? How much more can I do? And sometimes I go, why am I doing all the things that I'm doing? And it's like, I love that, or maybe I programmed myself to love that, the juggling process of, you know, one minute I'm just sitting here answering a customer's question, the next minute I'm drawing caricatures that take me forever to do, and then the next minute, you know, I'm doing a meditation with a group, you know, so it's funny how the variety of life comes in. And I'm a, you know, you as well as Globe taught me numbers so well, like, to embrace who I am,
yeah,
and be okay, because I like that freedom and creativity. I like, I couldn't sit at a desk 24/7 and just be, and some people can. There's nothing wrong with it. I just can't. I've got to pop up. I've got to go. Yeah. You know, whether it's standing on the back deck or standing on the front deck. I mean, be outside in nature for a second. Just, you know, chase the cat around the house. You know, make some tea, sit with it, have a show. I mean, do all the things. You know, I'm sitting here staring at, you know, these beautiful calla lilies that are sitting in front of us. And I'm like, man, I'd like to just photograph. You know, and I'm like, my head's like, bing, 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 bing.
Right.
And it's like I said, there's so many things that we can tune into to enjoy and appreciate in life. There's no reason except to enjoy and appreciate them, and just get yourself in that state. And it's not that it's been a minute, but you know, not so many years ago, like 2 years ago, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't enjoying where I was. I wasn't, you know, I was seeking a solution. What is this, 2022, so it was 2018. I was seeking solution, actively looking for a solution to my heartache and to my sadness and to my all this stuff, because that's what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And coming full circle now and realizing, of course, law of attraction, what you focus on expands. And it's like, you know this stuff. Why are you doing this to yourself? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, it's great to dole out advice or information when people ask you, but when it really happens to you and something happens to you where it knocks you off your foundation, it's like, not why did it happen, but how can I be more? How can I be not in this space, really? I'm not asking to be in this space, but I'm asking to be out of this space, whatever that looks like, be happy. And I just remember being able to spend time at my dad's, and he's the 45 from the ocean, and just going to the ocean and spending time at the ocean and appreciating that vastness, and that I'm just a drop in that vastness. And yes, what happens to me matters, because I'm a ripple effect and I'm going to ripple out. So what am I rippling out to the universe when I'm in this state? So now it's time to change. And in that seeking for that solution, I found solution. And so as I bring that solution in, I want to ripple that out. so that people have the ability to not be in those states as well. So, you know, I think about all those little things, like, you know, even those guys jumping in the air and landing. I mean, that's a ripple of, I want to do better, I want to do more, I want to change this. How do we get this where we're sticking the landing? How are we getting this where, you know, now what else are we going to add to this?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, you know, bottom line, life is beautiful.
And you expressed it. I mean, you've always been just super creative, super busy in that, because you're following things that interest you. And that tends to be, you know, knowing your numbers, it is about acting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward and just so juggling. So, yeah, it can be exhausting to kind of follow you around. You're like, oh, my God, what else are we trying to do? How about
– still awake.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Like, don't you have work in 30 minutes? Yeah, I'm just going to finish this last little bit, take a little power nap. We'll be back. You know, but I know, like, that catches up with you, and then you take your time, and you're like, I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm just going to go to sleep or,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, I choose to just be in that space. And, I love people. I love being around people and hanging around people. So that's always fun. But, yeah, there are times when I've come home, and I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm done for the day. Check that. I'm going to sleep, and it's done. So Raven is saying, love watching the flowers grow outside. And I have a tomato plant I brought in last year, and
it still has flowers.
Oh, that's amazing. Which is cool because I've been studying, of course, with everything else, I'm studying hydroponics.
Right. So, like you do.
Like I do. Because I'm the same way. We have these, what are those lilies that grow? They're old-fashioned tiger lilies. They are beautiful. Anyway, we random. Like, we were just sitting here one day, and these beautiful flowers were just right in our view.
Dragon lilies?
I don't know what they were. I posted them online, but they were just, they're not like a normal flower that I've ever seen. They, like a spider, it's like, it opens, it's beautiful and red. I'll ask Anderson, she'll tell me what it was. Anyway, so we were just sitting here in the middle of the yard, like this little, I don't know what, 3x3 section?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here staring at the greenery of it, and I know those things are going to pop up, and they're going to be gorgeous. So I would like, you know, to have just visuals like that, which we do. I can't, like, we need any more visuals in this backyard. It's just beautiful. But, yeah, I would love to be able to grow, like, tomatoes indoors, and I love that idea. Like, tomatoes indoors, some lettuce.
Yeah.
I'd like to do lettuces you know, just play around with hydroponics. But I want to try to do it aesthetically because what I was watching was like, let's get a tub and drill some holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, no, I mean, you know. I've seen some really cool hydroponic-type garden stations. And when I was in New York visiting with Liz, I was on a deck. And I'm sitting there just enjoying, it was a beautiful day, but it had these really cool iridescent umbrellas that were up. So they were, all these colors were kind of reflecting all over the place. And then I'm looking at this like PVC, really cool, funky PVC tube. It looked like a little thing, you just roll a marble down, you know,
yeah.
Click, click, click. But there were little shoots coming up. And so I went over to take a look at it, and they had built a hydroponic station, and every 6 inches, 6 to 7 inches, there was a plant, and the pump came up and it drizzled the water. And now, of course, I'm curious. I'm like looking in the piping. Yeah, and so the roots were hanging down, and the water would just brush up against the roots, and that's how they were growing their garden. And there was just little shoots everywhere, and I was like, that was amazing. Humans are amazing.
We can, yeah. Well, we're not trying to, you know, busy trying to kill the world, but, you know, yeah, you know, when we direct it to good purposes. But, yeah, no, I remember getting hydroponic lettuce at one of the, like, the large grocery chain a few years ago. Thinking,
yeah.
Like, at Boston lettuce, I'm like, this is delicious.
Yeah. They sell it at Lidl, whatever the name
Lidl.
Is. Yeah. I get it because it always has the big root on the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, can I root this?
Yeah.
I might be able to root it,
probably.
Grow my own lettuce, you know. So I remember the funniest parts of my life when I go back to that is taking my grandmother to the mall back in the day, and they had plants, like, all in the mall. My grandmother would go and snap limbs and pieces of the plant she would snap. Then she'd root them and she'd grow them. It was so funny. I'm like, Grammy, you're not supposed to be breaking plants in the mall. You know, but she would. She'd have them in her little pocket. You know, she had a little house dress on. We'd walk. I don't know. It was like what, the 4 or 5 times we took my grandmother to the mall. And it was, you know, when I remember I was still a teenager and we're all walking around. I just remember her breaking off stuff. And I'm like, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to break off limbs. But they do. I mean, I remember my mom rooting stuff on the counter.
My mom would, we would go to national parks. And I'm like, all right, Mom, you cannot. There are park rangers for that, just for people like you.
Right.
And she's like, no, it's not a problem. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
We're going to get arrested.
We're going to go to national park jail. Yeah. With bears and stuff.
Yeah. Right. And now what's cool is, you know, as an adult, my sister tells me she's got plants from my grandmother's yard.
Well,
and they save the seeds and they grow it. And so it's all, you know, like,
that's really cool.
I'm like not the person that remembers plant names and stuff like that. And it's so funny because I grew up with it.
Uh-huh.
I got friends that go, let's go fishing. I'm like, no. They're like, why don't you want to go fishing? It's like, I did it as a kid so I could eat. You know what I mean? Like, fishing, crabbing, shrimping. We grew up
that's
in,
work, yeah.
We grew
that's
up
like
in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, right next to Charleston. And we did that every week. We went and
we had seafood every week.
We had seafood all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And we were catching it. And so now as an adult, somebody says, you want to go fishing? I'm like, I'll go hang out with you, but I'm not going to fish.
Oh,
that's work, right?
We going to eat later? Like, yeah. Are we going to eat that stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, so we all have perspective, right, on what it means to do certain things, where fishing means meditation for some people. For me, it's like, it's food, right?
We're hunting for some fish.
Or some crab. You know, and it's, what's funny now as an adult, I'm not a huge blue crab fan.
I mean, I
like the snow crab.
Well, all right. If I'm going to...
If you had to pick and choose, what would you choose?
Because if I'm really hungry...
You'll eat the blue crab.
Well,
but
yeah,
but
the
it's...
No, the snow crab, because it's easier.
It's easier.
But I love it when we do get blue crab.
Blue crab is fun.
And we have a throwdown.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because that reminds me of family.
Right.
That reminds me of we're all going to gather here. Like, we've spent... It feels like all day... doing
right.
that, but it was only maybe 2 hours because
yeah.
it was freaking hot out.
Yeah.
So 2 hours worth of crab catching, and then, you know, you wait a little bit longer. You know, my mom would do stuff in the kitchen. There'd be a ball of beer in there somewhere, and then we have these crabs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go in the kitchen if you are, you know, like
yeah, you
at
don't...
all squeamish about hearing things die.
Yeah.
So don't do that. But otherwise, you know, like most things, you just wake, you show up
you
to the table.
You wait and you show up at the table
and it's
there.
Cooked
right.
and it's one
like point. We caught it.
Yeah.
And then we put newspaper on the table and the next thing you know, it was cooked and
right.
on the table.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Because we would come home and dad, and it was usually mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like our moms, I remember going crabbing with your mom and she had her, and we were trying to teach her, because we would pick the crabs up. And she was always like, how do you do that without getting bitten? It's like, well, the crabs can't. Reached backwards.
You get it from the back, yeah.
But she did something, and man, it got her thumb. I remember that. We were on Etowah Island.
Oh, wow.
I remember that. But, yeah, so just little. Just
she's those, a master now.
Yeah,
no,
she's,
no,
a
she's
master.
Like, I got this. No big deal.
Right,
you know?
Right. So that was a lot of fun. Now, and I don't know why. I think for me it was the hooking the worm, you know, whatever.
Baiting the hook. Yeah, yeah,
I don't
like
to fish.
Yeah. I let my dad do all that.
You know, make me throw a net to seine for some shrimp. I'm good with that. I'm casting a net. I'm really good. Well, I was. I was that kid that was up at 5 a.m. I tied herring in the net.
Oh,
because
gosh.
That, you know, it's a weird little things that you remember as a kid that were joyful to you.
Yeah.
I also liked eating the herring. So that was good, too, and the dried herring. It's so weird. Like,
one for me, one for the crab.
Or the
shrimp or whatever.
So all the little things, you know, and I remember all those little things. Gosh, that was your job. Like, what was your job? Okay, I tied a herring in a casting net, and I made rice. Those are my jobs, you know?
I didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
I had a privileged life.
You did have a privileged life.
My mom did everything.
Yeah. Your mom did do it.
She didn't trust anybody to do it right. I didn't do it. It's already done.
Yeah. Okay. But I just remember, like, you know, the joy of the day would be playing around on a broken bridge.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Seriously. I mean, this is what we did. and there would be nets dropped. I mean, the crabbing nets were dropped. We would, again, cast nets for shrimp, and I remember pulling them up on that dock, and the shrimp would just
jump in.
Pop in. We had a big 50-gallon trash can. We're just loading up the trash. You know, we're trying to catch them. Of course, it's a little painful if you catch them, their noses in your hand.
Yeah.
So all this, you know, going back to all those memories and the joy that you had, you know, and I think now if my mom were still on the planet, like, what would she be enjoying, you know? And I can tell, my parents, they love life. Our parents love life. We traveled in that little
camper.
Pop-up camper that went on the back of the truck. I mean, there's so many little memories of just my parents, and we did not have a dull life at all. I mean, it was always something to look forward to, something to do. I remember them inviting people over. They had built this clubhouse in the backyard, and they put a sheet or something, and they ran a film. So they brought a projector over. I mean, we had popcorn. I mean, it was crazy. We did that, like, several times. You know, so you think about all the things, and I go back to my childhood because, you know, I look at this because, of course, I'm running stuff in my head, like my ex saying, you and your perfect family. It's like, you know, we're not perfect, but we had a lot of fun. I'm like,
yeah,
whatever that means, and it does look like it, and I wouldn't talk about it for a long time because, you know, it was a thorn in people's side that you had such an quote unquote idyllic or Mayberry RFD type child. We did. It was definitely different.
Well, you know what's interesting is that we lived it and
mm-hmm.
But I would say when I would visit other families, I would be shocked at how kids talk to their parents.
Right.
And then I'd be shocked at the poor quality of food that was cold cereal and cold juice. Like, coffee and fried eggs, please. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to ask me what we're going to have for breakfast, coffee and fried eggs. So I knew it would be different. I knew it was different because I didn't have massive sleepovers. And I think when we would have parties and I'd invite my friends over, they would be like, wow, this is like full-on meal. Like, well, yeah, why
wouldn't we?
What do you guys eat? Like, what do you mean? So I went to one of the parties and my mom came, you know, she was just waiting for me, you know, or she would pick me up. She's like, well, what did you eat? My mom, they had chips and some M&Ms and some cookies. And she's like, yeah, are you hungry?
Yes, I'm hungry. I'm starving.
I was expecting dinner, you know, like freaking dinner. Apparently you're supposed to eat before you go. I didn't realize that. You know,
yeah. We feed people. That's what we do.
Yeah. She just had that grim, like, line, like, chips. Who serves chips only at parties? That's just unheard of. You know, are these people poor? Like, what's wrong with them? But it wasn't even about being poor, because certainly there are people who, I guess, you know, plenty of money and stuff like that. But I guess the way people do parties, I don't know.
It's programmed.
I'm just hung
it's
up
like
with
how
that.
You, because our family, when we gather, it's around food generally.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, when our family says, hey, come over, they're like, oh, yeah, we're getting ready to eat some good food, you know?
Yeah,
and now we're the adults, so we
have
we have this thread going. We have this thread going with the cousins, like who's going to bring what, and it's like, well, I volunteered Amy to make some Atlantic Beach pie, right? Because I'm going to delegate. No, but I'll do some smoked salmon.
I have no idea what I'm going to bring.
Yeah,
so I'd probably need to make a salad.
That's the funny. Because
Joey,
my nephew has COVID,
yeah,
and he can't come. So all these things, you know, we look at it, and a lot of the conversation is, you know, I mean, honestly, we had a viewing. Our great uncle passed a couple weeks ago, 97, had a beautiful 96,
yeah,
had a beautiful life, and it's kind of like, okay, all right, there's food. After the service, there's food, and then we're gonna go out to eat. So it's always comforting for us. Food has been comforting, mm-hmm, but not necessarily in a bad way, because some people are like comfort food, you know.
Right.
And sometimes, yes, in a not good way, I want to say. But, so it's been interesting to review all of that and just be in gratitude of this family,
mm-hmm,
and really both sides, which I think is awesome. We're having a reunion this July, and in Alabama, because that's where my mom is from, and that's the side of the family that's having it. But the most of the Bangulan family will show up too.
They do let it go.
They love each other. They love each other. It's so amazing to watch this, these super dynamics of super, super Southern folks just embrace and love the Bangulan. You know, it's like, and I always crack up because I think left to their own devices, these are left to our own devices. You know, I can't imagine the type of people that they would be because I mean, no judging here. But I, you know, and I love them, and then they are quite entertaining. I mean, I could tell you stories of, you know, my Uncle Daryl.
Uncle Daryl.
And my Uncle Wesley, not Wesley, but, yeah, Darvin. You know, I'm going to get the banjo out. I could tell you some amazing stories, but, yeah, when these families get together, it's beautiful. I love watching it.
That's good.
And of course, the Bangulans cook and bring food.
That's why.
That's Filipino food. Yeah. We're going to have some of that. But no, they do. Our grandmothers really adored each other.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And I remember that bringing them both, mom and dad brought them both to the house. To spend.
Lola loves everybody.
She did.
Who is your companion? Like, yeah. She always wanted to know who you're bringing. You know,
you had to bring people and she'd feed you.
Yeah.
Like I'd go there after school. She'd, you know, are you by yourself? You don't need to be by yourself. That's Jesus.
Jesus.
Mary, our Lola,
Jesus, was, Mary, and Joseph.
Yeah, right.
Jesus, Mary, also.
Thanks, Lola, for showing up today. So she was a hoot to come in, and she's looking around. She wanted you to bring an entourage, and she wanted to feed everybody.
Yeah, because she could.
And just beautiful people. And I feel so blessed and in gratitude that I was born into this family. And it's very, you know, I'm the Filipino redneck, so I get it. I have both sides of the story, and just to be in the love of it, because on both sides, I know I'm still in the love of it, you know, because I love my aunts. I only have a few aunts that are left on my mom's side, and then, you know, on dad's side, there's a whole gaggle of us, so it's all good. But you know, and even cousins, like extended cousins, and cousins like this, I think this event we're going to have third cousins there. Rachel and Philip are third cousins.
Second cousin.
No, Frank is our second cousin. Something like that.
I'm going to look it up.
Oh, yeah, because Frank is our uncle. And those of you who want to send some loving and good healing light to our Uncle Frank, who has a brain tumor.
Yeah, I've mentioned him on the show. Yeah. I mentioned the situation. And I don't know all that what he's. I don't think he's getting. You get updates.
Yeah,
more than
he's. He's. You know, he's not doing fantastic, but so, he is.
Technically, Uncle Frank is our first cousin. First cousin once removed.
Okay, the logistics of that I don't know.
No one.
But
understands
I will say,
it.
You know, when we talk about memories of our family, and my Uncle Frank taught me how to fry an egg, and I remember distinctly him teaching me how to fry an egg when I was like 8 years old, and it's a technique, and I still use the you know, how
you need to teach me
and
how
I can apparently cook some really fried eggs, really good fried eggs. So
your kids will only eat your eggs.
They only eat my food. Yeah, well, Lily says she needs a walking egg.
Not a walking egg.
Yeah, so they have we have our little words or what we say, but it really is a beautiful family.
Yeah.
And there are people who are on the periphery of that family who are always like, I love your family. It's good. So it's either you're loving all the love or you're not loving all the love. I will say that too, because sadly, that's my ex. Not loving the love. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, there are some people who just, because they have any frame of reference for that, they can't, so they can't accept it. They don't trust it. It's completely foreign.
Yeah.
It's completely foreign.
Foreign.
And that is sad, because I think it's something that maybe now, after so many years together, maybe it's just a matter of pride. Like, well, whatever. But, you know, there are times when she has softened and she can to certain people.
Well, a lot has come out. I mean, in the conversation that we've had now,
right,
that we can actually talk to each other civilly, has come out. And you're exactly right, because her family is not.
They're not like that.
Neither
right.
side. Yeah.
Right.
Neither side. And so, and you've got to, and I've got to be okay with that. And I've got to be okay. I am okay. My children see two perspectives, two ways of being, two ways of living. And I love it when my son says, you know, I haven't spent time with my Filipino family, and I'm heading to Atlanta. You know, I'm going to go with Nina. And he's actually said that. And I'm like, wow. That's, you know, I said, oh, no, you just want some punsy. Olivia, you just want to be fed, right?
Well,
he's like,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
No shame in that game.
But he loves my mom's side, too. They, you know, they're so cordial. Like, when we go visit Dad, they go and visit my aunts and uncles.
Everybody loves it.
So, you know, there's just a blessing there and a gratitude. Having that support, I think, and, you know, that not many people have that. Not many people have what we have in a family, and I think that, and being able to share our family, because we do share our family.
Can't not share our family.
Right, right.
I can't imagine, like, no, these are my people.
Yeah, yeah. No, because we want people to come over and eat. We want to feed you. And,
you know what? When I've done the numbers on just the name Bangalore, I mean, it's a nine.
Oh, okay.
It's a nine. So it is about, like, sharing and giving back. And, mm-hmm. And then, you know, if I look at, like, my mom's side of the family, that name ends up being a one. So it's a different vibe. Such a different vibe.
Yeah.
But they both serve great purposes. I want to say your mom's last name, I think, is an eight. I want to say it's an eight, but I have
Powell?
Yeah.
Is an eight?
I think.
That's my middle name.
Well, I show mama's last name.
Oh, cool.
So.
Well, it's my middle name. Yeah.
So, you know, I look at that vibration, and I think, well, We're definitely serving that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine it being any other way. Even though it can be very tiring to be around a ton of people.
Mm-hmm. And I always sneak out and when at the end of the gatherings, because you gotta hug. It's
like
about another 2 hours just to hug everybody.
Yeah, some people say it's like a southern goodbye. You're standing in the parking lot the next morning.
Right.
You're like, all right, I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Right.
So we're Southern and Filipino.
Yes.
So, like, it takes you, if you wanted to go, like, next week, you got to start today and saying goodbye to people.
Right.
I totally do. I have to say goodbye to people.
Yeah.
And so I will go, like, 2 hours before I need to go.
I say bye to the host, and then I'm gone.
Well.
Yeah.
So
And then my...
I try to get to as many people as possible. And then I'm like, okay. Then when I get so tired, like, I got to go. And my car is right here, so I'm going to go. But I think our family is just... I'm amazed by it. And even now, even though I know those things and I see
mm-hmm.
those things, when I see it in contrast to something else,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm in total gratitude
mm-hmm.
for that. I'm like, wow, yep. We really lucked out.
That's my assignment for anybody who wants it, is just, you know, look in your past or your present and just be grateful and gratitude of, you know, things that have happened, people you've met, maybe your family, you know, whatever it is, have that appreciation and that gratitude, and just allow it to fill you up with the joy and the happiness in that moment. You know, I have these little memories now, you know, with, like, especially with Uncle Frank, because he spent a lot of time. He took us to Six Flags. I mean, bought me a Cinderella watch. I mean, all these bing, 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 all these things about spending time with him. And it's really cool that I am in gratitude of that. And I send him love and light all the time.
Yes, yes, yes. We love you, Uncle Frank.
Yeah. But yeah, and we love you guys for showing up today and listen to us just ramble on about family and the Olympics and kitty cats and, you know, the spice of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spice
that's how, that to me, that's how you truly move ahead, move forward. Try to... Whip it good. I'm singing Devo now. Oh, no.
You're singing Devo, but making movements
of talking heads. Right. Oh, Lord.
We are stuck in a decade,
anyway,
aren't we?
It is a joy to be on the show with you.
Thank you.
I love you, cousin.
Love you, too.
You
love you, too.
She's my little sister from another mother.
Another mister.
Yeah.
But same mister, but same yeah. family mister. Anyway,
whatever.
Love you guys. If you need to get a hold of us, loablend@gmail.com. We're back on the air Thursday, 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. We love you. Let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead.
Yay. Bye.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good. Tell me that you like.